Welcome or welcome back to Horse for Horror. I'm Mariah.
And I'm Kayla.
And this week, we're pulling an episode out of The Vault. And we will be discussing the murder of Skylar Neese.
Bum!
Kayla, you've obviously heard this.
Yes.
doesn't end well, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But before we jump into it, we do just want to let you guys know that we are taking the rest of May off, which means our next episode won't come back until June 7th, and it's a beefy one, so be ready. Let's just get into it. Skylar Annette Neese was born on February 10th, 1996, and was the only child of Dave and Mary Neese. She was described as a lively young woman with a bright future. Skylar was known for being a high achiever, excelling in every school subject by maintaining a 4.0 GPA.
That's pretty hard.
I agree. Huh. In high school?
Yeah.
She loved to read, played the flute, was active on her social media accounts, and never missed a single day of work at her part-time job at Wendy's.
Wendy's sounds so good.
I could go for Wendy's nugs right now.
Spicy nugs.
Yes. Skylar dreamed of one day becoming a criminal defense lawyer and eventually settling down and starting a family of her own. She was also described as outgoing and social. One of her closest friends was another girl named Sheila Eddy, whom Skylar had known since she was 8 years old. Sheila was also an only child, and Mary and Dave Neese thought of Sheila as another daughter, with Dave recalling, quote, "Sheila didn't even knock on the door when she came over. She just came on in," end quote.
That could either be good or bad.
I know, yeah. Like, one of two ways. Once the two girls entered high school together, they quickly became friends with a third girl named Rachel Schoaf. Rachel came from a strict Catholic family, she was also an only child, and was an active participant in Young Life activities and had attended the St. Francis Catholic School before coming to University High.
Okay. That's different, though, going from a Catholic school to just a public school.
Yeah, a public high school. And I'd read that, so this takes place in West Virginia. Skylar's home is called Star City, West Virginia, but it's essentially like a suburb of a bigger city in West Virginia. And so they all went to these like little satellite elementary and middle schools, and then they all got funneled into University High. Mm, but hers okay. was, but Rachel's was a Catholic school.
Oh, okay.
Rachel was also said to have somewhat idolized Sheila, as Sheila was often viewed as a wild and carefree one, while Rachel had a more restrictive life. Mary, Skylar's mom, later recalled that Sheila was, quote, "as wild as the Appalachian Mountains." Skylar thought she could save her. I would hear her on the phone giving Sheila all sorts of hell. "Don't be stupid. What were you thinking?" And on the other hand, Sheila was so much fun. She was always silly and doing crazy stuff, end quote.
Mm.
I know, it sucks. Quickly after connecting with Rachel, the trio became inseparable. Rachel was redheaded, tall, religious, and the star in the high school plays. Meanwhile, Skylar was the brunette who was spirited and loyal and a little more down to earth. Meanwhile, Sheila often changed her hair color, sometimes being blonde, sometimes being raven colored. She was known for being down for anything, charismatic, and free-spirited.
Hmm. Okay.
The three girls gained somewhat of a rowdy reputation, although I would just call them being high schoolers. Yeah. Sources stated they would often sneak out after curfew, go to parties, drink alcohol, smoke weed, make out with boys, etc., which is like, duh. Yeah, they're 16 and horny. Of course they're going to make out with boys and sneak out.
Seriously.
I
never did, though.
You did it? Yeah, you're lying, you little bad kid.
I wasn't wasn't terrible.
In retrospect, parents and friends of Skylar and Rachel have both claimed that Sheila was likely the bad influence.
I mean, maybe.
Skylar's cousin Kyle described Sheila as a, quote, bad seed, and some of her friends had avoided hanging out with her when she was with Sheila, who they described as mean and controlling. Rachel's friends had similar reservations about Sheila, whom they blamed for changes in Rachel's personality and behaviors. Classmates of the three noted that it appeared as though Skylar and Rachel were constantly angling to be the one closer to Sheila, and Sheila seemed to enjoy the sway she had over others, but I will say that this just, like, she could just be a high school mean girl, you know? Nevertheless, Skylar had no intention of ending her friendship with Sheila, someone she'd known for years and had looked up to in some ways. Yeah. Rachel's reasons for staying close with Sheila are a little less obvious. Rachel was from an affluent family and was more popular. She didn't need Sheila for her status, and perhaps she simply liked the fact that with Sheila, she was able to do things that she could not do with friends who shared her religious background.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. People are saying Sheila's a bad influence.
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying Sheila.
Rachel.
Oh, you think? Oh, well, I guess I did meet Rachel last, huh? So that is a safe assumption.
Yeah.
While each girl lived in different suburbs of Morgantown, they did live together virtually in the digital realm. Thanks to their many social media posts, it is clear that Skylar, Rachel, and Sheila had underlying tensions with each other. Oh, I wrote 2021, but it's definitely 2012. On May 31st, 2012, Skylar tweeted, quote, "You're a two-faced bitch and obviously fucking stupid if you thought I wouldn't find out."
Hello? We're just tweeting this out to the public?
Fucking intent.
Bam, air that dirty laundry, I guess.
Another tweet from that spring by Skylar reads, quote, "Too bad my friends are having lives without me." And another tweet from July 4th, 2012 reads, "It doesn't really take much to piss me off," and quote, "Sick of being at fucking home. Thanks, friends. Love hanging out with you too," end quote.
That's really sad.
I know.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone back through your old social media posts?
God, I mean, I have before, but, like, I deleted my Facebook from a long time ago.
Yeah, I wiped my Facebook because that's where I made all of my posts, and they would be, like, the stupidest shit, like, going to have a sleepover at Robin's. Like, who cares? Yeah.
Literally nobody cares.
Like, no one, yeah.
No, I used to do that when I still had my old account, and it was so cringy, too, especially with, like, the old boyfriends that I had and everything. Ugh, God, so cringe.
Looking just back, I'm just like, ugh, girl.
Yeah.
But we all go through it, so.
It's because we were all, like, impulsive, and we wanted people to, like, know what we were thinking, and it was our little passive-aggressive way of lashing out.
Yeah. And social media makes you feel like you're the superstar. Like, of course everyone wants to know what I'm eating for lunch. They're my friends. They're following me on here.
Especially,
like,
with the little Facebook prompt.
Yes.
Like, what was it?
Tell us something. What are you doing? They were like stupid prompts. I remember them. Really dumb prompts. Tell us your thoughts.
Like, yeah. How are you feeling today?
Yeah.
I'm feeling like shit, Facebook. What else?
A cesspool of hatred.
Seriously.
A high school classmate named Daniel Hovatar recalled, quote, "Sheila and Skylar were fighting a lot. One time, sophomore year, me and Rachel were at a practice for Pride and Prejudice, and Rachel had her phone up to her ear, and she was laughing. She was like, 'Listen to this. Sheila and Skylar were fighting, but Skylar didn't know Sheila had put her on a three-way call, and Rachel was listening in.'" End quote.
That's mean girl energy.
I know! That's so mean.
You've been friends with this girl your whole life, basically, and you're gonna let some third party come in and, like, turn you against her?
That you just met in high school? Yeah.
Yeah.
On Thursday, July 5th, 2012, Skylar was preparing to leave for a shift at the local Wendy's where she worked for extra cash during the summer and sometimes after school during the school year. Before leaving, Skylar tweeted, quote, "You doing shit like that is why I never completely trusted you." And minutes later, "All I do is hope." So she's mad.
She's mad. She's really mad. Girl, just get some new friends. They suck.
Yeah. After work, Skylar came home, kissed both her parents goodnight, and went into her bedroom.
But also, this is why we need to, like, give young people the tools to, like, face rejection.
Yes, regulate emotions.
Like, yeah, like, in every part of life, relationships, friendships. Yes,
I agree. Everything. Like, and that social media is not the place to, like, vent or, you know, talk about your emotions, really.
It just makes it worse. It really just makes it worse. Like, if therapy was as prevalent as social media, we would all be better.
Yes, the world would be a much better place. That day would be the last time Mary and Dave saw their daughter alive. Ugh. Later that night, at around 12:30 a.m., Skylar was spotted on surveillance footage outside of the apartment building. She was sneaking out of her ground floor bedroom window in the middle of the night, purse over her shoulder, hair swinging as she hurries across the small parking lot to a waiting car.
That was a narrative.
I know. I was proud of myself.
That was visually pleasing.
Thank you. The next morning, when Skylar's parents awoke, they realized she was gone. Initially, they weren't too worried. Like we said, Skylar was a teenager, and below the window was a bench and the window screen, so they just assumed that she snuck out and would be returning later.
Yeah. What time was it when they woke up?
It's probably like 8-ish.
Yeah. Usually you want to be back before your parents wake up, though. But I could see them going, oh, well.
Well, one of Skylar's friends, Morgan, later stated that Skylar would often sneak out and would not return until mid-morning or afternoon. So it, like, totally was not unusual for their situation.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, she's just, why even sneak out of that
place? I know, just walk out the front door, girl.
Yeah, really. You're just announcing it anyway.
Also, it's summer. Like, Skylar is a typical teenager. Of course she's gonna sneak out and do these things. And Dave and Mary recalled in an interview that Skylar was a good kid. She never missed a day of work. She had a 4.0, and most importantly, they trusted her.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. They had taught her a sense of right and wrong and to always stay true to her morals, so they were not afraid or worried when she'd snuck out, just as she had before.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
However, when Skylar did not show up for her work shift the next day, Mary and Dave knew that something was wrong.
So the same day that they woke up and she was missing?
Yep, she didn't come back for work, and she never missed a day of work. And most importantly, she would have called her parents and let them know that something was wrong if she was going to miss work.
Yeah.
Shortly after 4 p.m., it was like 4:05, and her shift was scheduled to start at 4. Dave called the police and stated, quote, "I have a 16-year-old daughter. She has not been home, hasn't went to work, and I am scared to death now."
That sucks.
The police were quick to investigate Skylar's disappearance, starting with her bedroom that same day. They noted that her personal items, like a phone charger, contact lenses, toothbrushes, and her work clothes, all indicated that Skylar was going to return home before going to work, at least. Obviously, the first two people contacted were Rachel and Sheila. At first, the two girls denied seeing Skylar that night, but later confessed that they'd picked her up around 11 p.m. for a joyride.
I bet.
The three rode around in the car together, smoking weed, gossiping, before Sheila and Rachel dropped Skylar off around midnight, a few blocks from the apartment building, so her parents wouldn't hear the car.
Also, like, probably don't want to be, like, actively smoking weed and driving.
Yeah.
Safety issues. But
maybe pull over on that one. Yeah. But
yeah. Like, maybe don't just be joyriding with drugs that you're actively using. But, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah. The next morning, on July 7th, Sheila arrived at the niece's household. While she was there, Sheila comforted the family, helped with chores around the apartment. During this time, the family also became aware of the surveillance footage the night before. Dave, Mary, and Sheila all reviewed the footage, and in the tape, at 12:26 a.m., an SUV is seen pulling up to the building and Skylar seen running towards it.
So right then is when her little, oh no, we didn't see her, came out.
Yep. And importantly, this car looks strikingly similar to Sheila's, but she denied it being hers.
Oh, she actually just denied it right there.
Yeah, they said that they stuck to their story that they dropped Skylar off before 12:26. And with only the grainy picture to go off, the police were unable to trace it.
Mm-hmm. Also, what chores did she help with?
She was, like, cleaning up the house and stuff. Like, you know, obviously they're really upset. So, allegedly, mm-hmm. she was, like, cleaning the house, making food for them, just, like, helping them as much as possible. Which seems nice.
It does seem nice. But I just wonder if it's, like, you just want to be in the house to, like, eavesdrop. Or, like, did you want to actually, like, clean something up before someone got to it? Or, yeah. Could be anything.
I think that she probably just wanted to be close to the investigation, mm-hmm. and she probably felt bad a little. I mean, you, like, I killed a woman, so I hope you felt bad.
Spoilers.
Yeah. If you didn't know where this was going, hi, welcome to your first episode of a true crime podcast. But anyway.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you chose us.
The investigators did conclude that, obviously, this vehicle belonged to someone Skylar knew because she was willingly running towards it and getting into it on her own.
Yeah.
Great police work.
Obviously.
What's less a great police work is they refused to issue an Amber Alert for Skylar because, quote, those are only issued for missing children, not runaways, end quote.
She is missing. That's why you're investigating.
That's why you've been called. Like, what Hello. The fuck?
And I quote, I have a missing 16-year-old and I am worried to death. Hello? Missing?
On July 11th, the local news began to run stories of Skylar's disappearance and rumors began to swirl. One rumor was that Skylar went to a house party, overdosed on heroin, and the partygoers panicked and hid her body.
That's very specific.
Yeah, and a problem with this is that Skylar didn't do heroin, nor did she hang out with people who were on heroin. So, like,
right.
That is an intense leap from weed to heroin.
And also, even if that were even remotely true, like, people at a house party shooting up heroin are not going to take the time to hide the body. They're just going to leave.
Yeah, they'll leave, yeah.
They're going to run. They're just going to be scared.
Yeah. And someone would talk. If it was a house party, someone would say something.
Yes.
Other rumors theorize that Skylar met up with someone she knew on the internet and they turned out to be a predator. And even... people even speculated that she'd been involved in a series of bank robberies in the area and she fled with her co-conspirators. So
that one's it.
Just fucking That's throw in it. Anything and if it sticks that to the is wall.
The most believable. She actually met a prince.
Yep.
Who offered her tons of money.
Yeah.
And she actually ran off to become a princess.
The Nigerian prince was real in this case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sadly, another rumor was that Skylar ran off to North Carolina. This rumor was investigated and turned out to be a separate runaway teen from the area who was reunited with her family.
Okay. Interesting.
Importantly, none of these rumors turned out to be true, and for nearly 6 months, not a single lead was made in the case of Skylar's disappearance.
I am shocked that none of the rumors were true.
Heroin, what?
I am actually shocked that, 6 months has passed.
Yeah, that's insane. During this time, Skylar's parents worried that their only daughter was kidnapped by a monster and was out there being held, or worse. They also feared that the local police were not doing enough to find their daughter.
What were they doing?
I don't know that stuff, I guess. Not finding her. One of their only sources of comfort during this time was Skylar's childhood friend, Sheila.
Sheila
spent every day in the weeks following Skylar's disappearance at the niece's house, and she even stayed in Skylar's room while she was there.
Creepy. Also, like, I don't know, that would just make me suspicious, but I am also, like, a very suspicious person, like...
See, I don't know. I would just believe that she's being nice and is like, I want to be here for when she comes back, you know?
But here's the... Yeah, maybe. Like, I could see that. They thought she was their other daughter. Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, how many times did she stay over at their house when Skylar was there?
Well, she's walking in without knocking, so I'd say
she's like, not every single day, and now she's gone, and now you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to spend every day here. I'm just going to move in. Da-da-da-da. Like, hello?
I don't know. I just see that. That would
be so weird to me. If, like, if she was, like, a second daughter, and then your daughter actually disappeared, and then her best friend moved in, basically, I'd be like, ooh. Oh, she wanted to replace her.
That's interesting, because I don't read that. I definitely read it as, like, okay, don't get me wrong, Sheila's fucking bad, but I read this I would read it as, like, oh, wow, she's, like, so worried about Skylar being gone. She wants to be close to us for when Skylar comes back, you know?
Yeah, but you're really nice. and I can be cynical sometimes where I'd be like, you're being nice to me?
Why? Yeah, why are you being nice to me? What the fuck?
What have you done? What have you done?
Yeah. On August 22nd, 2012, Sheila posted to Facebook, quote, Skylar, come back. I seriously can't deal with school without you. I miss you too much. To which Dave replied, she will come home soon, honey. Love you. And Sheila responded, love you too.
Bleh.
In the months following Skylar's disappearance, the police heavily focused on Sheila and Rachel, obviously. From the get-go, Jessica Colbank's instincts told her that Sheila and Rachel were lying.
Who's Jessica?
She is a blunt 31-year-old police officer with brown hair that she slicks back into a tight ponytail with dark hawk-like eyes. She was the first cop to interview the two of them and stated, quote, Sheila's demeanor was so off. I thought that if that were my best friend, I wouldn't be sitting at home having a good time. I'd be bawling my eyes out searching for her.
Yeah, Jessica. Yeah.
Sheila was devoid of emotion. Unless you ask questions she didn't want to answer, then she could turn the tears on. End quote.
Yeah, that's right. Me and Jessica. We're on the same spot, or the same page. Same wavelength.
Just a few days after Skylar had gone missing, Rachel had left for church camp at Camp Bosca, so Colbank had to interview Rachel over the phone. Quote, Rachel was nonchalant, no panic, just like, I don't know where Skylar's at. You'll have to talk to Sheila for more stuff, because I don't know anything else. Their story sounded very scripted, end quote.
Yeah.
When Colbank interviewed Dave and Mary Neese, they came across Skylar's diary. While she hadn't written in it for over a year, as Twitter likely replaced it in her daily life, the journal illuminated the dynamics of the trio. Quote, a lot of her diary seemed not jealous of Sheila, but Sheila had all the guys and could do whatever she wanted. Skylar was very pretty, but Sheila got all the attention and she made sure she got all the attention. Skylar wrote about Sheila's sexcapades. She didn't have any of her own. I think she lived vicariously through Sheila because Sheila would tell Skylar who she did it with, how they did it, if it was good, if it was bad, if he was big, if he was small. I think that's the reason Skylar wasn't sexually active. She didn't need to because she could live off the stories that Sheila was telling, end quote.
Yeah, she didn't need to.
She knew what was happening in sex.
She had no needs whatsoever.
Yeah. One entry in particular stood out to Colbank and Skylar's parents. On August 21st, 2011, Skylar detailed a night at Rachel's house when the three girls had raided her mother's liquor cabinet. Skylar's mother, Mary, recalled, quote, of the, like, diary entry, quote, they got drunk, and Sheila and Rachel proceeded to make out in every way you possibly could outside of actually fucking. And Skylar said the word. She was locked in the bedroom with them and afraid to leave because Patricia, who was Rachel's mother, would find out they'd gotten into the liquor. So Skylar's having to sit there watching them because she didn't want them all to get caught.
Okay. If you're uncomfortable, leave.
I know, yeah.
Sneak out the window.
But also, home. She's like, you know, 16. She's,
you know. Yeah.
You also it's not exactly, be... like, logical what's going yeah, on that's up there. Fair, that's
fair. But you also, like, should not be in friendships where you are jealous of the other person.
Yeah.
For their looks or, you know, things that they can't control.
But, right? Again, it's high school. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
So, parents.
Yeah. 2 weeks after this diary post, Skylar tweeted, quote, I tell the whole world all this shit I have on everyone, which is a lot. Hashtag, if I could get away with it, end quote.
She put that on social media?
Uh-huh.
You should not be putting that on social media.
Yeah. On October 2nd, 2012, 3 months after Skylar disappeared, Sheila posted a plea on the Team Skylar Facebook page. So this page was essentially like, you know, where people are, you know, memorializing Skylar, requesting her to come home, posting about memories, etc. Sheila's post contained a picture of Skylar sitting on the floor with Sheila leaning back between Skylar's legs, eyes closed as Skylar kissed her cheek. The caption read, quote, Skylar, sorry I haven't posted in a while. School has been taking up all my time. Me and Rachel miss you so much, especially at lunch. We sit at a table alone. Come back so we don't look like loners anymore. LOL. School is so hard without you. Actually,
LOL.
Actually, everything is hard without you. I seriously think about you 24/7 and miss talking to you on the phone day and night. I know you wouldn't like some of the things that are being said lately, end quote.
Okay, that's weird. There's a lot of things going on with that post. Like,
meanwhile, Rachel and Sheila were withdrawing from their peers in high school. Daniel, the high school classmate from earlier, stated, quote, they were acting so weird and becoming a lot more secluded into each other. Honestly, I never liked Sheila. She was too controlling, always the queen bee, like, bow down to me. But Rachel was more like Skylar. I loved them both. I told Rachel, quote, if you know something, you better let the cops know because they're going to find out and it's not a game, end quote.
So actually it was Sheila.
Yeah.
And not Rachel. That was the bad influence.
As the investigation progressed into the fall, the consensus among all the branches of law enforcement, local police, state troopers, and even the FBI who had gotten involved, was that Rachel and Sheila knew more than they were telling.
They're acting weird, dude.
Yeah. And since phone companies don't keep a record of text messages, all the authorities had to go on were two pings off of a cell phone tower near Blacksville, a rural town west of where they all lived.
But also, they do keep a record now.
Yeah. One of the pings was from Rachel's phone, and the other one was from Sheila's, both at 4 a.m. on July 6th. FBI Special Agent Morgan Spurlock recalls that Rachel often gave nonverbal cues during the interviews. Quote, she would play with her hair, clicking the button on a pen, or drawing on the table with her finger while we were talking to her. Sheila, on the other hand, had great posture, her hands folded on the table. She'd look you in the eye and speak matter of fact. She wanted to know what we were thinking, what we thought, and she would apologize for changing her story so many times. She would use excuses like, it was late, or I wasn't keeping track of time. She would later try to layer her perception of events that happened with a cloud of doubt over some of the facts that we could stick to her. We sometimes don't even see that with career criminals, end quote.
So, is she a psychopath?
That's what they're all basically saying right now.
Dang.
Sheila had taken a polygraph test, and she was confident that she'd passed. On December 12, 2012, Rachel was headed downstairs to take her polygraph, but on her way, she panicked, jumped out of her father's car, and ran away. She ended up with Sheila's mother, Tara. The police discovered that Tara was essentially hiding Sheila. When Tara arrived at the Star City police station to pick up Sheila's electronics, which investigators had confiscated.
Okay.
When Detective Colbank asked Tara if she knew where Rachel was, Tara responded, quote, "Well, Rachel's down in my car," end quote.
Thanks, Tara.
Colbank later stated, quote, "That just pissed me off that she was helping them keep up their lives." Then she said, "I wish you'd quit picking on my daughter. You're making her life hell." And I said,
"Stop picking on my murderous daughter."
Yeah. And Colbank said, "Good. I'm glad we're making her miserable because she's lying. She got mad at me and I called her a fucking tool," end quote.
Yeah, you fucking tool.
Detective Colbank was actually kicked off the case for this outburst, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Keep your composure.
Yeah. And Rachel and Sheila were finding the pressure from the police, the kids at school, and Skylar's friends unendurable. Even Mary Niece, Skylar's mom, posted over a 1,600 word post on the Team Skylar Facebook page stating, quote, "These girls are more guilty than originally suspected. It looks like foul play has occurred and murder has not been ruled out," end quote.
Who posted that again?
Skylar's mom. Yeah.
Yes, good for you.
But I will say that the post was taken down at the request of the authorities.
Yeah, that's fair. It would be really funny if the cops were the ones that posted that.
Yeah. But by then, everyone had seen the accusations that Rachel and Sheila had murdered Skylar. So around winter break, the two actually began being homeschooled rather than returned to high school. So just like avoiding the consequences of your actions anyway.
Mm-hmm. I could also see parents wanting to like pull their kids out of school if something like that happened. Just to like, because I mean, come on, kids are kids. Like they're going to.
But murdering bullies, each other, right? Like.
Yeah.
I can handle some bullying, but once you start murdering each other, that's like, nah.
Yeah, probably just would have been easier to just, like, I don't know, not be friends with her. Like,
it's so easy for us as, like, adults to be like, don't speak to her. But
I see so many people, and Jake does at school, too, because he's with a lot of, like, younger kids in school. Yeah. So he'll come home and he'll be like, "These kids just don't understand that the people they think are their friends are not their friends." Like, he'll just be listening to, like, these group of kids bullying one person because they're smart.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're smart.
And like, Jake's previous... Sorry.
No, I'm just like, you should go up to this kid and be like, "I want you to know that they are not your friends.
They don't like you." Yeah.
They do not like you. They keep you around because you're the smartest one of the group, but, like, they don't like you.
Yeah. And Jake's older, too, so he's, like, he was in the fucking military. He's had, like, a career before this, so he's a full-blown adult.
He's, like, 10 years older than most of the people that he goes to school with right now, just because he's all in the intro classes, and he's, like, God.
These fucking children, like, Jesus.
Yeah. It's funny. Know who your friends are.
On December 28th, 2012, the police received a call from Patricia Schoaf, Rachel's mother. She said, quote, "I have an issue with a 16-year-old daughter of mine. I can't control her anymore. She's hitting us. She's screaming. She's running around the neighborhood," end quote.
This is Rachel?
Rachel's mom,
Yeah, Rachel had a mental breakdown.
In the background, you can hear Rachel screaming unintelligibly, and Patricia says to Rachel at one point, quote, "Give me the phone. No, no, this is over. This is over," end quote. Once the police arrived, Rachel was admitted to the Chestnut Ridge Center, which is a mental health facility, and she was discharged 6 days later.
Hey, at least she got to spend, like, a week in there, like...
Yeah. Like,
getting help that she needed.
And... she seemed to have like some sort of revelation because mm-hmm. immediately after leaving the Chestnut Ridge Center, her and her lawyers went to the police department where Rachel confessed to the murder of Skylar with the first words out of her mouth being, quote, "We stabbed her," end quote.
Yeah, I feel for her, but like also...
I don't.
You like, murdered you somebody. You fucking like, murdered I someone. I can't imagine like the guilt that she must be feeling to literally have a mental yeah. breakdown, but...
And it this is bad. Like, okay, listen to this story, okay? Mm-hmm. Rachel recalled her and Sheila had planned to murder Skylar at least 2 months before her disappearance.
I no longer feel bad, thank you.
In the spring of 2012, Rachel and Sheila were in science class joking about killing Skylar when one of them said, quote, "We should just kill her."
No, you shouldn't.
They gave each other a look of agreement, and over the next month, they devised a plan to carry out before Rachel went to church camp. So they literally had a deadline on when they were going to do it.
Yeah, because if she came back from church camp, she would not...
Yeah, she'd be all...
Have gone through with it.
Godly.
She'd be like, I don't think so.
On Thursday, July 5th, 2012, Rachel took a shovel from her father's house while Sheila grabbed two knives from her mother's kitchen. They put the shovel, some cleaning supplies, and a change of clothes in the trunk of Sheila's car and drove to Skylar's apartment building.
Do you not, like, think about the things that you're doing as you're doing them? Like,
fuck no, they're, like, 16.
Grabbing a shovel, like...
Yeah.
But in cleaning supplies and stuff, so it's not like she was, like, just, like, coerced into doing this or yeah. whatever. She actually helped plan it, and, like, she, on her own, like...
Yes. And girl, there was time in between the plans and when it happened where you could have thought, like, maybe I shouldn't kill someone considering, you know, like, one of the first Ten Commandments is, like, thou shalt not kill. But anyway, I digress. And she's religious. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, there's so many. They're hard to remember, you
know? I know, yeah.
The first one? No. But, yeah, I just can't imagine, like, even if I got myself into a situation like that, which... I don't think would ever happen.
I don't think,
honestly.
Yeah.
Like, never say never, but I don't think that would ever happen.
You would hopefully be like, wait a minute, murder?
Like, what the fuck am I talking about? Like, what's going on? Like, as I'm putting things in my car, I would be yes. like, picturing what this is for. Like, I don't think I could do that. You know?
Agreed. And I knew from an early age, like, murder's not right. And I think that's something yeah. that humans inherently know. Is like harming others isn't right, so
you would think,
it just makes me mad.
Like, and I guess that's what kills me with a lot of people who are like really violent and stuff. Like, we're born pretty much knowing,
yes,
deep down that violence and harming others and murdering others yeah. is not it. So I don't know, it's just like to be so callous.
That's it, yep, to be so callous. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Title of the episode.
Yeah. Although the temperature that day was well in the 90s, both Rachel and Sheila wore hoodies under which they kept the wrapped knives so they wouldn't cut themselves.
So you thought that far ahead?
Yeah, literally. I didn't want to hurt myself, but
imagine
Skylar.
Being stabbed with a knife.
Yeah. Once the two got to Skylar's, they took the knives out of their clothes, put them in their hoodie pockets to have them ready. They called Skylar, who then climbed out of her window, ran across the parking lot, and jumped into the back of the car. Skylar likely believed that the three girls were taking a joyride to get high, just as they had hundreds of times before. Skylar had even brought along her bong, and Rachel brought along a pipe to make it seem like that was true.
Yeah.
The three drove to a rural area in Greene County, Pennsylvania. There, at the edge of the woods, the three found a place to sit. And when Skylar got up to retrieve a lighter, Rachel said, quote, "On three." That was the agreed upon signal, a count of 1, 2, 3. And then the two girls began stabbing Skylar from behind.
Ma'am.
At one point, Skylar got away, but Rachel tackled her to the ground. In the struggle, Skylar managed to take the knife from Rachel and actually stab Rachel below the knee, but Skylar was then overpowered. Skylar was stabbed over 50 times as she screamed why to the two people that she thought were her closest friends. Mm-mm. Once Skylar died, Rachel and Sheila attempted to bury her body, but eventually settled for hiding her under branches and leaves. The two walked back to their car.
It's hard work killing somebody.
And I'm just gonna say it, it's hard work to dig fucking holes, man. Like, it looks easy in movies, but you take out a shovel, it's fucking hard.
Yeah, that shit sucks.
Yeah. Rachel and Sheila walked back to the car, changed their clothes, and drove away. When the police questioned Rachel for the reason of the murder, Rachel responded, quote, "We just didn't like her anymore."
And then quote. Don't be friends with her anymore, Rachel. Like,
egg fucking exactly, bro.
And yeah, I really don't feel bad for her anymore either, just because, like, I actually believe that Rachel was manipulated by Sheila. Because I feel like she's a really good manipulator, but just, like, I don't know, like, to allow yourself to be that manipulated by it to where you're literally going on three and tackling the girl, like, come on.
That's so premeditated. So premeditated.
Mm-hmm. So Sheila might be manipulative, but, like, deep down, you're not a good person.
Yeah, also a monster.
Yeah.
After Rachel made her confession, she led the authorities to the murder site where Skylar's body was recovered. Thereafter, Rachel and Sheila's friendship obviously devolved.
Yeah.
The next day, Sheila tweeted, quote, "For the first time ever, I'm completely speechless. Holy fuck." Because I think the news got out that Skylar's body was found.
Yeah.
On January...
So she was still trying.
Yeah. To keep it up.
She had no idea.
Yeah. Okay. On January 7th, she tweeted, quote, "Walk straight through hell with a smile." And on January 15th, quote, "You don't even know the amount of shit you have caused."
Yeah, she's pissed off at Rachel.
Yeah.
Start manipulating, girly.
In April of 2013, Sheila was arrested and charged with the murder of Skylar Neese.
Good.
Both girls maintained they killed Skylar simply because they did not like her and did not want to be her friend anymore.
Then don't be her friend.
However, many people speculate that Rachel and Sheila were sexually active together, and Skylar obviously knew about this.
Well, yeah.
So the entries in her diary, the tweets that she sent out just days before her death suggested she knew about these secrets and that she was willing to expose her friends and that this could be a possible motive.
Which put a target on her back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guarantee you that Rachel went through with it because of how religious she
grew. Oh, yeah. Can't have that stain on her reputation or her family's reputation, well, who are relatively affluent.
Yeah. Which one is worse in your little book size? Being gay or murder? Which one is worse?
Yeah. Being gay, girl. Have you not listened to these book? Religious people? Yeah.
Your little book says so. Wow.
Yeah. Sheila Eddy pled guilty to first-degree murder and was sentenced to life in prison on January 17th, 2014. She will be eligible for parole in 2029.
I bet she doesn't get that.
Oh, yeah. Rachel Schoaf, who cooperated with the police and testified against Sheila, pled guilty to second-degree murder in a plea deal. She was sentenced to 30 years in prison and was eligible for parole in 2023, which was denied.
Good. Good.
Good, yep. Following the senseless murder of Skylar, her mother and father have pushed to enact new laws to protect missing teenagers. If you remember, an Amber Alert was not issued for Skylar because she did not fit the criteria. Mm-hmm. Additionally, the family was told that there was a waiting period of 48 hours before the family could file a missing persons report on this.
Which is not true.
Yep. State legislators from the Neese's family home district introduced a new law called Skylar's Law, which basically calls for law enforcement to issue immediate Amber Alerts when any child is missing and is thought to be in danger, regardless of whether they have been kidnapped or run away.
Good.
In May of 2013, the bill was officially signed into law by the governor, making it a part of West Virginia's legislature. The nieces also transformed the wooded area where their daughter's body had been found into a memorial. Skylar's father was quoted as saying, quote, "Something horrible happened here, but I want to take the horrible thing that happened and try to turn it into something good, a place that people can come and remember my little girl, Skylar." And that is the story of the murder of Skylar Niece.
Thank you. I hate that.
Me too. It's the worst. Teenagers are literally the worst. There's no better way to say that.
I really don't understand how you get to that point. Like, you should not be thinking about murder at all.
I agree. Yes. Like, I couldn't even kill a spider when I was a teenager. I couldn't even imagine stabbing one of my best friends.
Yeah. It's crazy. And this one is also the one that always reminds me of the case that I did. It's also in our vault, and I will be doing it at some point.
Hell in time, yeah,
again. But it's Missy Avila.
Yes. Oh yeah. OG hers listeners of Horse for Horror will remember that.
Yeah, that was super super fucked up.
Ugh.
But
I'm not ready for that one either. Honestly, I'm not ready for any of these, but here we are. Every 2 weeks.
And I keep like, I have like a list of cases I want to cover. And every time I find a new one, I'm like, oh my God, that's so gruesome. The listeners will love it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm not ready.
Do I love it? Yeah. This is hard.
Yeah. Like, we do this stuff for you guys. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And we hope you guys love it. And we hope you guys keep listening. And you tune in on June 7th for our meaty boy episode.
Meaty boy.
Meaty boy. You'll and probably know point, the case, but Kayla doesn't, so we're going to get to listen to Kayla's reactions. And if you haven't heard the case, it is well worth it.
What's the name?
I don't want to give that away because I
okay, that's
to,
fine.
Yeah,
don't,
I'm not going to give, it. I'm just going to keep you on the edge of your seats.
I'll just avoid Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, do not watch Netflix.
No documentaries.
Yeah.
Can I do cult documentaries?
Oh, yeah, of course. Those are your favorite. Yeah, keep doing those.
Yeah, I'll do that. But yeah, and at some point, guys, we will be very, very consistent with our schedules. We're just, you know.
Who knows?
This is just
winging it.
Yeah, this is just like some creative outlet on the side for us, which we really love doing. But at one point in time, hopefully in the near future, we will be a little more consistent than we are now. But.
Yeah. And for those of you that hate listening to me, eventually Kayla will start researching her episodes.
I hate listening to you.
And you don't have to listen to just me. Don't worry.
I'm in my final term of school. So in just a few short weeks.
She gonna have a degree.
I will have so much time to be able to delve into these because I have so many that I'm just like, oh my God, I want to research this. Oh, I want to research this. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
I'm getting like the spark back for researching and stuff. So I'm like, my God, I just have to stick it out.
And antsy. Like, I bet you're getting antsy. Like, you're fucking ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But soon, guys, soon.
Soon.
Stick it out.
Stick it out
just a little longer.
We love you guys. I know. But we'll be back on June 7th for our next episode. Bye.
Bye.